TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. If you're a golf lover, join in on fun discussions about golf. From the perspective of two plugged-in Minnesota golf geeks, Brad Cole and David Branstad, this is 10,000 Swings.
Hello and welcome to 10,000 Swings. I'm Brad Cole.
I'm David Branstad.
It's Monday, March 9th. We just had 50 and 60 degree days this weekend.
Pretty cool.
But now it looks like we're going to have some cold weather ahead of us for the next few weeks, so maybe not playing golf for a while, but we'll see what happens here in Minnesota.
This is pretty much just par for the course. It's March.
Yeah. If we don't get any more snow, I'd say we're in a good spot, right?
Well, so state hockey tournament was last weekend. Typically, we get dumped on that weekend. Didn't happen. Maybe they're waiting?
So speaking of getting dumped on.
Yeah, right.
The Arnold Palmer Invitational / Bay Hill / Bloodbath. We're now watching these tour events in Florida and maybe saying the Florida swing is the hardest part of the PGA Tour season?
It's kind of like watching the U.S. Open week after week.
I couldn't believe it. We thought that the Honda was pretty difficult. I believe the winning score there was -6, but now at Bay Hill it was -4.
I believe you're right, -4.
Unbelievable. Right out of the gate, you know, we talked about how much we loved Tommy Fleetwood going into this week, and he shot 8 over and missed the cut. Bubba missed the cut. Justin Rose missed the cut. Tony Finau, Henrik Stenson, Phil Mickelson, Lee Westwood all missed the cut.
Look at these scoring averages. Round 2, 74. Round 3, 76, and 8 players shot 80 or higher. Round 4, 76.
Unbelievable.
Is there another event on tour where the scoring averages are this high?
And I love it because people at home are like, 76? I shot 76 once. I could do that. Trust me.
Yeah.
If the average Joe that, you know, let's say a guy that's like a 12 handicap that has shot 76 once, if he was to go play Bay Hill on Saturday or Sunday this weekend, I'm going to go with over 95.
I can't remember who did it. Someone just came out with a report on the average handicap and what they would shoot at Bay Hill. And a scratch golfer, they had them at 82.
Wow.
An 82 for a scratch golfer. It went all the way up to 154. 154. I can't remember what the handicap was. It must have been 36 or
averaging
something.
Averaging over a double.
Yeah.
So, and you got to think, when I mentioned last week about using 30 balls at the Honda, I mean, there's a lot of water at Bay Hill as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's out of bounds as well, you know, with all the neighborhoods. So,
right.
Incredible. On Saturday alone, Ricky shot 5 over. Patrick Reed shot 8 over, who was in the hunt until that point. Hideki shot 8 over.
Which, to be honest, when Patrick Reed was in the hunt, here's all I'm thinking about. Dear God, we're going to have to talk about him again.
Didn't have to talk a whole lot about him this week. I think we're going to be okay. Hideki, 8 over. And then Brooks, 9 over. Shot 81 on Saturday. That was Saturday.
Right.
I think Max Homa was the only guy to break par.
He was the only person to break par on Saturday. I believe that was also the first time in like 20, 30 years that that's happened.
Matthew Fitzpatrick was the only guy to shoot in the 60s all weekend.
Which is crazy.
So
these are the best players in the world.
So think about this field. You had 7 winners of the event, 14 of 19 winners on the PGA Tour this season, 17 of the top 30 players in the world, including Rory at number 1 and Brooks at number 3. 20 major champions, 8 players champions, just incredible field, and they really, really struggled. David, so your pick this week was Tiger Woods. How do you do?
Better on his couch than anybody else did.
Probably the same as Tommy Fleetwood did.
Right?
They both got $0, so really didn't matter that you stuck with it. Unfortunately, you don't get to use them again. So.
No, I don't.
Oh, classic. So a very, very difficult week. Matt Every.
Holy cow.
So some individual players that we want to discuss and go through. But, I mean, Matt Every goes out and shoots 65 in the first round.
83.
83 in the second round and misses the cut.
I'd like to say I could do that, but I can't because I can't shoot 65. I might tie on an 83.
And then 105.
Then 105 for the next round. Yeah, right.
I mean, it was absolutely incredible. Francesco Molinari, WD'd, you know, we still don't know what's going on with him and his back. Tiger decided to not play because of his back. Jason Day played the second round first or second round, he actually WD'd during the tournament. Just so, I mean, the back issues in golf are always going to be there, but it seems like it's pretty prevalent right now. And is it, do you think it's all because these guys are just putting too much stress on their body, or what do you think it is?
You know, it's hard to say, but look, we talked last week. I went snowmobiling last Monday. I threw myself off that sled pretty good. My back is wrecked. I think aside from that, it's they put too much pressure on it. It's the weightlifting. It's the constant trying to prepare, trying to be the athlete that an NFL football player is. And it's a lot of stress. Also, the golf swing in a roundabout way, like look at Jason Day, it's gotten a little bit more violent over the years. I mean, he's got an aggressive downswing.
Mm-hmm.
It puts a lot of stress on that lower back. Different back-related thing, and going back to Molinari, he WDs. See who got in?
No.
So Lee gets in. He's heading to Bay Hill on Wednesday. Gets hit by a car accident. He's in the passenger seat. His wife is driving. Car hits him on passenger side. And then he finds out late Wednesday night he gets into the event.
Wow. What a range of emotions.
Shoots even par, I believe, on day one, then 73 on day two. I didn't really look and see what he did elsewhere and plays with Rory and Justin for 2 days.
Wow, that's incredible. It was a tough week to watch, but some interesting stories like Lee. Brandon Matthews, so I don't know if you remember last fall, he was playing, or early this winter, he was playing in the Argentine Open, part of PGA Tour Latino America, and he went out there, he was about to get into a playoff, right? He had a putt on the last hole to get into
Correct.
A playoff, and as he was about to pull the putter back, someone yelled some things in the
yep.
stands.
Yep.
And he was very frustrated. He missed the putt. He missed out on the playoff. And it turned out afterwards he met the fan. It was actually a middle-aged fan that had Down syndrome. And they developed a bit of a friendship. He gave him a glove. He handled it extremely well. And one of the things that Arnold was always known for doing is so much more than just the game, just the competition. And so Arnold's people actually extended an invitation to Brandon Matthews to play in the field this week. Very cool.
That is pretty, pretty cool. You know, one thing we all get caught up in sports is there's always something bigger than the game we're playing. I don't care what sport you're talking about, golf, football, basketball, there's always something bigger, and that is bigger than the game. Wish we would have played a little bit better, but...
Yeah, he was close to Tommy Fleetwood, we'll just say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
he was close to Tiger on his couch.
But what a cool experience for him to be able to skip a couple of tours there and come right up to the PGA Tour and
Absolutely.
Play his first event and ultimately getting that nod because he did the right thing. He handled it really well, in my opinion.
He did. He handled it perfectly.
So some other cool things we saw this week. Ricky Fowler and other players did a little tribute to Arnie. I don't know if you saw on Saturday, Ricky was wearing the pink cardigan.
Dude, Ricky's cardigan was amazing. I want that.
The light pink cardigan was pretty impressive. Unfortunately,
I want
he shot 77
yeah, he
in it.
Didn't help him.
Bryson was wearing the umbrella logo.
I think he wore it every day.
Every
didn't
day. A lot of cool different things that people were doing. I think you saw Rory wear some pant colors that kind of look similar to some of the colors that Arnie would wear back in the day. So some fun things there. We talked a little bit before about Jason Day with his back issue, and we don't know exactly what his future looks like. He took what was it, top 10 last year, the players?
Yeah, so something like that, yeah.
We hope he'll be back in the field this week, but we don't know what his status is. Another guy we really were wondering where he's at is, what's going on with Brooks?
What is going on with Brooks? I think, is he actually trying to prove to the entire golfing world that it's only majors he cares about? It's not good golf.
He played one of the best rounds in the tournament on Sunday. And hopefully this will turn the corner. Saturday, it was obviously not good. They asked him on Sunday how he played, and we can't use all of the words, but we'll say
so good.
He said, still something, I'm putting better. And they go, yeah, you probably can't say that on the podium. He goes, well, find me. So, you know, he's really going after his best Marshawn Lynch, and you got to love it. Brooks is never going to hide anything as far as how he feels about how he's playing. And I think that's, in my opinion, that's part of why I really enjoy him. Same thing with Rory. Same thing with Sergio. I'm not as big of a fan of Sergio, but I do appreciate the honesty. And Rory and Brooks are just so transparent. You just, whether they're winning or losing, you're right there with them.
take you and I as an example. If someone asks you after a bad round of golf, how'd you play today? What are you going to say? I played like crap.
Yep.
I'm not going to use crap, but I played like crap. Good for them for saying the same thing.
Yeah.
It's bad golf.
A couple weeks ago, we talked about the 80 swear words a day, and I think Brooks is just trying to get in on his mins. I love the just true, never anything sugarcoated. And in my opinion, I really enjoy that about him, and it's kind of fun to just, he's had a bad run right now. And we don't know if he says he's 100%, but is he 100% back from his injury?
I think he doesn't care. If you want my honest opinion, I think his care mode is very low right now. So we'll see what happens next week at the Players. We'll see what happens as Augusta gets a little closer. I'm still not counting him out, though. Remember, he was my prediction early in the year that he was going to be number one at the end of 2020.
Right.
So my predictions are, they are not good.
Well, we'll see what happens. We have Brooks, thinking that he'll be in the mix of the Players. Hope so. And then, obviously, he plays very well in majors, as we know.
Right.
Another guy that has been kind of quiet and is going to hopefully do something big at Augusta, Tiger. So Tiger has now said he's not going to play the Players this week. Do you think Tiger's just sitting at home and saying, these guys are going out and getting their teeth kicked in the last couple of weeks? It's going to be windy again next week at the Players. Probably -7 or -8 is going to win. I don't want to do that. I'm just going to get ready for Augusta. I'll shoot my -15, win the thing, and be ready for where I need to go and try to break the record.
You're saying he's the guy that wakes up in the morning, the casual golfer, is like, oh, man, it's a little breezy today. I don't think I'm going to tee it up.
I don't know. Like, is Tiger just going to stay well rested when the other guys are a little bit beat up, and all of a sudden he's going to come out and win the Grand Slam and just mic drop? This is it. Like, is he going to go out that way in his career? He wins the four majors this year.
And 2020, he wins all four majors. He sets the major record. He sets the all-time PGA Tour record. Mike drops it. I'm done, and we don't hear from him again.
I think that's a pretty aggressive, pretty bold statement. I'm going to guess that that's not going to happen. But we would just love to see him get back. And the hard part is that, as you've seen throughout Tiger's career, when he doesn't play and then he comes back, the first thing you're always going to hear is, well, there's a lot of rust out there. There's a lot of rust.
I'm so sick of that.
And again, my dad always says this, he felt the same way about Jack Nicklaus. There's always was the rust. And the best way to get rid of the rust, David, is play golf tournaments.
Play.
We need you out there, Tiger. You make everything better. So hopefully we'll see him before Augusta, but I don't know if we will.
I don't think we will. If you want my announcement, I think we'll see him teed up at Augusta. I think we will see him in the mix at Augusta. I'm not going to go out and claim he's going to win it, but we'll see him in the mix. He's one of those guys that's always going to show up that week. And I do think he's the guy, all he cares about is majors. It's a little different than Brooks. Different periods in their careers, he cares about majors, especially the Masters.
Yeah, now it sure seems that that is the focus, so we'll see. And another guy that I really liked at Augusta going into this week, and now I don't know how I feel anymore, is Tommy Fleetwood. I mean, Tommy Fleetwood hadn't missed a cut in 33 events, and all of a sudden didn't miss the cut this week, shot a million. I mean, it was ugly.
It was really bad golf.
So now the consecutive cut streak is held by Colin Morikawa, who, by the way, Morikawa has not missed a cut yet on tour since he came out, which is really, really impressive.
He hasn't missed one cut?
Nothing. He's something special. So we'll see how some of these different storylines keep building as we get, the first major of the year at Augusta is such a big deal, and kind of use the Players as a way to build up, but kind of bummer knowing that Tiger's not in the field. Brooks isn't playing his best. Tommy had a weird week.
Is it still a little weird having the Players before the Masters?
Yeah, I think it will be for a while. But I like it that it really kind of builds on March Madness, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
Like to have conference tournament weekend for college basketball the same weekend as the Players. Like, the weather's not going to be great this weekend, folks. You don't need to worry about that.
Right.
You can sit on your couch and get so much. There's just a ton to watch. You've got, state high school girls basketball tournament.
Girls.
We've got conference basketball tournaments, getting ready for Selection Sunday, Players Champs. So a lot coming up this week.
There's no reason to get off your couch, basically.
Yeah. So speaking of a guy that We don't know if he's a couch potato or not, but Matt Every. So he spent last weekend on his couch, 65-83. Matt Every is an incredible story. So this guy came out on the big break in 2006. In 2010, he was suspended by the tour for marijuana possession. In October of 2019, he was, so just a few months ago, he's suspended again for violating the tour's drug policy. He's 309th in the world. Last week at Honda, he made an 11 on a hole. And all of a sudden, he comes out this week and has the first round lead at Bay Hill, which isn't a total surprise because he won in 14 and 15 there.
Yep.
So he knows the course well. But his interview afterwards...
This is the most priceless thing I've ever heard.
The interview, he says, sometimes I'm really good. Sometimes I'm really bad. It just works out sometimes. I'm not scared to make a double here and there. Those are the words that he used to describe where he was at. 65-83 MC Hammer.
What's better, Every or Koepka? I love the honesty of both.
Yeah, I mean...
It's basically, I suck at golf today.
Yeah, no, and that's, to me, that is really, really fun to just have guys that are just, yep, it just wasn't there. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It just wasn't there, and very interesting. So speaking of guys that it might not be there, another guy we want to talk about today is Phil. Like, Phil goes out and almost wins at Pebble, a weak Sunday finish there. But now, like, is Phil done? Like, he's been looking pretty rough.
It's pretty rough.
You know, he's lost a bunch of weight.
He looks good. And, you know, when you watch him play, it's not even that he's hitting it that bad. Off the tee, he's been okay. I don't know what his stats are. But his scoring is, it's not good. I'm not going to go quite as far as what I'm going to say, but maybe it's Champions Tour time. Like, go own something somewhere else, because he's getting beat up right now on the PGA Tour. Or play a Tiger schedule. Playing the big ones.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know about Phil right now. What about his weight? What do you think? Do you put it back on?
I can't tell him to put it back on, but the success stories of people playing golf after losing weight isn't very good. Duvall played terrible after he got beefed up. Koepka? I mean, Koepka's gotten a little more ripped. He hasn't played that well, but it's hard to tie that one in because he played really well last year.
But Bryson's played well.
Bryson's played well.
But I guess, like, Phil is more of a, it's not that Phil, those guys were more of gaining muscle.
Right.
Whereas Phil has actually just lost a bunch of additional weight.
Yeah.
And some players over the years that have struggled when they've lost some additional weight, a guy like Jason Gore, Carl Peterson. Remember Carl?
Barely.
Carl Peterson was one of those guys that he actually said when he was away from the game for a bit, then he came back and he won, and he put on like 30 pounds and he started winning again. He said, he goes, my routine at night is, you know, at least a bowl or two of ice cream. And then he goes, and I wash it down with some beers.
Good for him.
So there's a lot of different ways to do it. And we'll never, you don't know what the perfect way is to do it. I think it's got to be a balance, just like anything. But with Phil losing all the weight, it's been interesting to see, like, where is he going to go with this? And is his next career, like, is Phil just going to be a social media guy going forward? Because
he kind of owns that.
He is crushing it on the social media.
Phil does Phil, so who knows what he's going to do? Phil does Phil.
You know, another guy we talked about before, Francesco Molinari, so a couple years ago was just absolutely crushing it. He won last year at Bay Hill, goes to Augusta, has the lead going on the back nine, and it was a very tough back nine for Francesco. And Francesco hasn't had a top 10 since. And, you know, a few years ago before he started playing really well, he said he contemplated retiring, sitting at coffee shops and being an internet troll. and then he went on a tear, and now he's kind of going on a tear the other way. He's got back issues. Great player. We don't know what's going on, though. And we've seen this a lot over the years, whether it be Lee Westwood, Henrik Stenson, guys come in, they go out. Sometimes they come back. Sometimes they never come back.
I think he's going to come back, if I'm honest with you. I think he's in a rut. I don't think he's going to come back with any great wins, but it might be like a Lee Westwood type career. He's going to come back. He's going to be in the hunt for a few things. And you know what? That's a great career. For the average PGA Tour player, he's had a great career, and I think he'll continue on that.
Right. And he played a lot of his events, really, were all originally starting from the European Tour.
Right.
and a couple other guys that have been, you know, European Tour players that really had great performances this week. And I'm going to say this name wrong. I'd sure like you to try at home. But Christian Bezuidenhout, he's in the mix this week.
What was that again?
Yeah. We're going to call him C-Biz from here and just kind of make it easier. So C-Biz, and we're going to go from there. But what an interesting story. So he's in the mix this week. He won last year on the European Tour. And at age two, he accidentally drank rat poison and developed.
How do you accidentally drink rat poison?
So they said it was a bottle that was on the counter, as in like a soft drink bottle or something like that.
Like you got a sippy cup of milk and a sippy cup of rat poison hanging out?
I wasn't there, so I don't know all the details of what happened into it. But sadly enough, he developed a stutter from that and went through quite a bit of depression. And they gave him, to help with his depression, age 14, they gave him beta blockers. Well, in 2014, he tested positive for the blockers at the AM at Portrush. And so, you know, they had to do some different things to kind of balance this all out and make sure that he's eligible on the drug testing side. But he's 25 years old. He's been through a ton. He's got a beautiful golf swing. His swing kind of looks like Ernie a little bit. He's from South Africa. And he was in the mix this week. He ended up struggling a bit on Sunday, really down the back nine, ended up finishing 18th. But he's been popping up a bit recently, just kind of a different story, you know, on how he got there. All these guys get here different ways. And
everybody's got a story.
I always enjoy knowing the backstory behind the player and learning more about them. Another one with an incredible backstory recently and absolutely crushed it this weekend was Tyrrell Hatton. So he just had wrist surgery. And he said that he actually recovered from the wrist surgery by drinking red wine and playing Xbox, which we got to appreciate that.
That is
his first event back was the WGC Mexico, where he took sixth, and he ended up winning this week at Bay Hill. Really impressive down the stretch. I mean, there was a lot of pressure. Leishman was right there, Sungjae Im there, all sorts of guys there, and it was not easy conditions at all, and he just grinded.
Good for him. That was not an easy Sunday round of golf by any stretch of the imagination. Like we talked about the scoring averages. I mean, when 76 is your scoring average?
Right.
Wow. Did you happen to catch on Golf Central his post-round interview?
No.
This is priceless. So he was on the Ryder Cup team for Euro last year. And he talked about how he celebrated. And he said he was hugging the toilet by 4 a.m.
Jeez.
So they asked him, how are you going to celebrate tonight knowing the players is coming up? He goes, I'm pretty sure I'm still going to tie a good one on.
Good for him. Good for him. That's so.
He might be my dream foursome.
Oh, there we go. Your love for the Euros continues.
I know, right?
And speaking of love for the Euros, so last Sunday, Paul Azinger announcing at the Honda Classic, and he said, when Tommy Fleetwood had his little debacle, and he said, I don't care what you do on the Europe, on that tour, you need to come to America and win on this tour. And he has received a lot of heat for this, and nobody is giving him any breaks. Everybody is going after Paul Azinger for this. Well, on number 18 yesterday, when Hatton looked like he had it kind of dialed, Azinger came out and said, I will eat my words. These guys come over here. They win on this tour. He goes, he did it. He proved me wrong. And I think that's what's cool about Azinger is that he's not afraid to make a bold statement. He's not afraid to own up when someone proves him wrong.
I've always liked Azinger for that exact reason.
It was good. I mean, Ian Poulter and a lot of other Europeans took a lot of offense to it, and they got really pumped up about this. And I think that those comments might put America in a bad spot going into the Ryder Cup, because I think there's going to be a lot of people that are ready to rumble. And we're only, what, 7 months away until
are we always in a bad spot going into the Ryder Cup?
I feel like it. But we're in America. That usually helps.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Local, Midwest.
So we just talked about Christian and Tyrrell, and David and I have had this conversation. We've been debating on when's the best time is to go deeper into this one. What are the best names on the PGA Tour, and not just currently, but in the past? Like, who do you think has the best name out there? What are the best names in golf? And we're going to go through some of them here because there's just too many good ones not to talk about.
You know, the one that always stands out to me because I love hearing is Cooch.
Cooch is great.
I love Cooch.
Matt Kuchar, but being able to just call out the nickname Cooch, everyone knows who you're talking about.
So those are the names I like, is the ones that I can just abbreviate and everybody knows who exactly it is. I mean,
And there's some names that I struggle with saying, so I'll give him a nickname. So, for example, Christian, we'll just go with Seabiz.
Seabiz.
Jazz Jonatanawan.
Sure.
Jazz Hands. I don't know what you call it. So we're going to go with Jazz Hands. Tyrone.
Janawadanon. I don't.
Tyrone Van Aschwagen. Bubba Watson. Tommy Fleetwood. Xander Schauffele. It's a really fun one. Yeah. Schauffele. Kiradech Epibarnrat.
Or what did you just say?
Call him, yeah, exactly. You want to just call him the barn rat? By the way, one of the guys that if you ever want to...
barn rat?
Epibarnrat. If you ever look him up and look at pictures of him, there are pictures... Google Images has pictures of him smoking during golf tournaments. So I think last year, him and Brooks were tied in a major. Maybe it was at the Masters. And they had a picture of Brooks and barn rat. And barn rat smoking a cigarette. And Brooks is ready to go lift 300 pounds. And they had them side by side, and it was pretty funny to think that those two guys are competing in the same sport.
Here's the problem, though. I'm trying to look them up right now, but I can't spell the name. I can't even come close for Google to help me to look this up.
Some other good ones, Taylor Gooch, Rory McIlroy, which sounds so much like Roy McAvoy from Tin Cup, Bryson DeChambeau, Emiliano Grillo, Eddie Pepperell, Padraig Harrington, Paddy.
Paddy.
So what's your favorite name to say on the PGA Tour? If you had to pick one name to say, what is it that you love saying?
So currently it's Tommy Fleetwood.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I love it. Just Tommy.
Yeah, well,
let's go Tommy.
Go Fleetwood Mac.
Fleetwood Mac, however you want to spin that one.
Yeah, no, I agree. I really like Eddie Pepperell.
By the way, my Google search for Epibarnrat or whatever his name is, it said no.
No searches?
No searches.
Okay, well, I'll find
it. That's how bad I spelled it.
I'll get you an image. So some other... best names out there, best nicknames. Tiger, in my opinion, Tiger, just, it's, yeah. We know he's came to us as Eldrick Woods, but there's only one Tiger.
There's only one Tiger.
Cooch, Barnrat, Roars for Rory is a good one.
Yeah.
I'll always love the Shark, Greg Norman.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
The King for
was he one of the first to kind of have that type of nickname?
I think so. Yeah, the Shark's pretty great.
Which, by the way, I think this last week, Rory just became the third person to be number one in the world. For over 100 weeks.
Wow.
Behind only Tiger and Greg Norman.
Wow.
Now, Greg Norman's at like 330 weeks, and Tiger's at like 680.
Jeez. That's impressive. One of my other ones that I really like, about 5 years ago, Chris Berman called Brooks Koepka when he first came out. He called him Bruce Koepka. And my friend Ty actually said, if you ever have a boy and you name him Brooks, I will only call him Bruce. And so to this date, my son is named Bruce by some of our friends. And last year during the Masters, actually Vern Lundquist called Brooks Koepka Bruce again. So apparently some people his name is Brooks, but you can call him Bruce. I think he's been called worse.
Didn't Rami call me like Bromstead a couple of weeks ago?
Barnstead. David Barnstead. Some good golf talk with David Barnstead. Yeah, so a lot of fun names out there on tour. Connect with us. Let us know what your favorite names are on tour and your favorite nicknames. So inside the ropes from this week, I think, you know, there's some really cool stuff with the umbrella logo and how that got going with Arnie. I think that, to me, is probably one of my favorite things that I learned this week that they talked a little bit about. There's just kind of going deeper into what the umbrella story is. So if you ever want to check out arnoldpalmer.com and read more into what the story is behind the umbrella. The shot of the week, on Friday, I saw Rory chunk back-to-back shots. That was unbelievable. On Saturday, Scott Scheffler on hole number 6, the par 5. Guys are making up to 9s, and I think Ricky Fowler and his group made a 9 with him. Jeez. And Scheffler hit the pin for a second shot and tapped in for eagle. So that was pretty impressive. But it was absolutely a bloodbath out there. Any performances of this week that you really like, David?
No. It's 2 weeks in a row of nothing.
Every 65,
I mean, every 65-83 is impressive.
Not the
kind
good way.
Of.
Not the
but
good
no.
way. Yeah, it was tough. Funniest thing I saw, again, Rory like chunking back-to-back shots. That's not some, these guys hit the ball so well. I think it goes to show you just how thick the rough was. Being able to not get the ball out, there's some really tough spots with how thick it was.
As well as these guys do hit the ball... they are still golfers. They are still human. They hit bad golf shots. And it's the one thing that television coverage doesn't always expose us to is there's a lot of guys out there making millions of dollars a year hitting a lot of really bad golf shots.
Yeah.
It's part of the game,
no,
unfortunately.
I totally agree. Minnesotans in the field this week, we had Tom Hoge finish 15th. Great performance for Tom. And Troy Merritt took 24th. So those were fun to see. And then over in the on the Champions Tour this week, we had both Tim Herron and Tom Lehman played. So Lumpy took 18th. Tom Lehman took 60th. And not a good performance from Lehman. But Ernie Els did get the lead or did the win this week.
Yeah,
that was fun to see for Ernie. Be interesting to see where his career goes, if he plays the Champions Tour pretty seriously or if he bounces back and forth a little bit.
If he plays the Champions Tour seriously, I think he's going to have one heck of a career.
I agree.
On that tour.
He's got a really silky smooth swing, which I'm sure will match up well playing a lot of events with Fred Couples. So there's been a lot of fun things to watch this week on tour. The Cutter Masters had a lot of interesting things as well. Eddie Pepperell got DQ'd at Cutter.
So I think we talked about this on a show previously about the inability to sign a scorecard correctly. So one of his playing partners had him down for two wrong scores on a scorecard, right? He called him out, and he changed it. But on the 16th hole where the score was incorrect, he changed it on the 17th hole. Score still adds up to 71 no matter which way you write the scorecard. But he changed his score on hole 17 instead of hole 16. He signs it. Out.
Wow. Oh, that's terrible.
Not the first time he's been DQ'd for an incorrect scorecard, by the way.
Oh, Eddie Pep. That's a tough one to take. Oof. So the event was actually won by, I'm going to butcher this name as well, Jorge Campillo over David Drysdale.
That wasn't that bad.
Thank you. And we'll just call him Jorge. In a playoff, on the fifth playoff hole. And In regulation, Jorge had the lead, made double on 17, ended up going to the playoff. If you're on a playoff, when do you lose interest at a certain point?
Three holes.
Three holes? Is that the max?
Three holes is my max.
Because to win a fifth hole, like a five-hole playoff, I mean, I just couldn't imagine. I feel like in the first playoff hole, you're all pumped up, and then if you push again, then you lose a little bit, and by the time you're on the third, you're just like, let's just get out of here.
Flip a coin.
But these guys are talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like, it's a big difference between first and second.
Yeah, but I've got a better chance of calling tails on that coin flip than I do at winning that next hole.
Oh, man. So as we preview the players this week, got to think Rory's the guy, right? Rory's been unbelievable. He just takes top tens every week. And he had fifth last week. I just think that Rory has to be the guy. I'm taking Rory McIlroy again. Been a pretty popular pick for me because I like taking top 10s. David, who's your guy this week?
Justin Thomas.
JT.
JT.
Okay.
I like him at this course. I think he's going to go really low. Don't ask me. I think he's going to go really low.
Wow. Well, that's very interesting. So
this is also the selfish me hoping for redemption from the last 2 weeks of high scores.
Right.
Hoping for some low scores.
Right.
On a course that's, by the way, not any easier than the last 2 weeks.
No, exactly. Well, and Michelle Wee is going to be a contributing analyst this week for the Golf Channel, so that'll be cool when they do their live from the players. So it'll be fun to see that. Some other interesting ones going into next week. I mean, Justin Rose is already done with his Honma deal, looks like. He went back to playing some TaylorMade clubs. Looks like Billy Horschel's already done with his PXG deal. So interesting to see guys change clubs during the season. David, would you ever change clubs during the season?
I change clubs all the time.
Fair enough. We know about your putter situation, right? So I guess the rest of the bag is not
being
that far.
It is.
No, I totally get it. So we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about golf courses in the area that have already opened. Welcome back to 10,000 Swings. I'm Brad Cole.
I'm David Branstad.
So the weather was good over the weekend here. We had, I think it was 50-something on Saturday and right around low 60s on Sunday. People were outside, snow's melting, everyone's talking about when can we open, when can we play?
See, Topgolf had a four-hour wait.
4 hours?
4 hour wait.
On Saturday?
On Sunday.
My goodness. That's good for them. I mean, they keep on cranking them through. It's good to hear.
Keep on keeping on.
Exactly. So we talked about March 20th, potential date that a local course could open. David, as you see the extended forecast now, what are you saying?
I'm going to push it back a little bit. I'm going to push it back the next week.
The 27th?
27th is okay. When we're going to see the first course open and stay open. That's not to say courses haven't already opened and then they shut down.
Yeah, actually stay open for this. Right. And again, we've had snow in April and May, so nothing would surprise us at any point. But we actually had courses this weekend open up in Sioux Falls. So Willow Run, Baker Crossing, and Fox Run all open this weekend. And I believe they close today. But they're open Saturday and Sunday. Get some early revenue in. I get it. It just, to me, it's going to be interesting to see, like, what... No, we didn't hear much, but was there a little ice underneath? You know, would it have been better to go to Des Moines or Omaha? Because I know Omaha has been playing quite a bit this winter.
You go south about 5 hours, you're going to be playing golf in actually decent conditions for this time of year.
Right? Which is, that's we're all looking for, as much as I want to play the first round, I don't want to play in slop.
I don't want to play in slop. I don't need ice still on the ponds. You know, do those divots ever really come back?
Right. Have you ever hurt yourself playing in bad conditions like that in the early spring?
No, because I don't play in those conditions.
A couple of years ago.
I played once in February when I was a teenager, and I'm good. I don't need to do it again.
A couple of years ago in early March, we had some really good weather, and I played out at Rum River Hills, and I hit an 8-iron, and I got just a hair down on it.
Ground's frozen?
Yeah. And probably like 3 months of my left wrist being pretty injured. Yeah. And from there on out, the rest of the round, I just kind of thinned to win. And try to
blade.
That's
fun to do early in the
year. But then it's cold, so then you're getting the pain from the blade. So just let's just get some good weather and play in good weather, and let's get all the frost out of the ground.
People have to remember, when you're playing early season golf, yes, does it say it's 60 degrees? It sure does. It was windy as heck. The ground's still frozen, ponds are still frozen, and there's still snowbanks.
Yeah.
This is still early March golf.
So Golf Digest actually wrote an article this week, very timely, about 10 things to remember when playing golf for the first time in 2020. And if you haven't read it yet, I suggest you go check it out. Some really good stuff. The first one they start off with is, it is colder than it feels.
The temperature.
Yeah, and well, there's usually a wind, right? So, like, yesterday, it was low 60s, but it was a 20-mile-an-hour wind, 15-mile-an-hour wind. It wasn't that warm.
Do you remember last fall what 50 degrees felt like?
Yeah.
Compared to what 50 feels like in the spring?
Right.
Same temperature.
Yeah, same thing. But everybody loses their mind because it's been 0 to 30 for the last 5 months.
Right, so we come out in shorts at 45 degrees.
Right. So, make sure you wear enough clothing. The second one, stretch out on the driving range. Just take it slow and simple is another good one. I think that it's, you know, everybody gets out there and they want to swing for the fences. Just kind of get into the rhythm, slow down. It's going to be a little rough for a bit. You're going to be bad. I mean, a lot of this stuff that they wrote here is very, very good.
So I actually argue that one the opposite way. I think your first round, you have zero expectations. You think you're going to be bad. And when you play with no expectations, what do you end up doing? You actually play better than what you probably expected.
Right. But don't you think an average guy, like let's say a guy that shoots 78 in the middle of the summer, and his expectation is going to shoot 78 or 77, that's what it is. He comes out for the first round, he thinks he's going to shoot 90, and then he shoots 87, he's pleasantly surprised, but he shot 9 strokes worse.
Success.
Folks, it's all about setting expectations. It's just like anything in life, you know, under-promise, over-deliver.
Correct. Yeah, he shot 85. It's 5 better than what he thought he was going to do. Doesn't matter how bad it really was.
Made his handicap go up, but we're not going to talk about that.
It's not in season.
No, not in season. Not official. What are we, April 15th?
I think we're
It's April 20th.
It's April 1 or April 15th. One of the two.
Okay. And then another one that Golf Digest says, don't use new expensive balls. Great, great comment. Just saying that you're probably going to lose a bunch. Just kind of take it easy. Maybe use some balls that you've already played with before.
The ponds are frozen. You can't lose it in the water.
What about out of bounds?
Oh, there's that.
Make sure you know the new rules. The courses aren't going to be in good shape. So a lot of good stuff to just kind of set expectations going into the the first round, so you don't go out there thinking that you're ready to qualify for any of the majors this year. So some fun with that. And we were, we just talked about South Dakota and the weather going on there and that they were open this weekend. We talked with our friends at Southern Hills down on the south side of the metro, and they're thinking about possibly opening this Friday, March 13th, depending on weather, because it's a very open course. So stay tuned. Southern Hills might be open this weekend. I think Bunker opened the range this past weekend.
Yeah, a lot of range opened. Oak Marsh, I think, opened the range. Bunker opened the range. Who else? Someone else over in Stillwater opened the range. A lot of ranges are going to be open.
Yeah, no, it's good. So we were just talking about South Dakota. And last week I was following the University of South Dakota women's team. They've got a couple girls locally. So Megan Munike from Champlin and Julia Hall from Hopkins. And they both were 1 and 2 for the team. They both broke 240, both shot 237 for a three-day tournament. So they played decent. And I'm watching this event. It's the UC Davis invite. And I see this name come up to the top of the leaderboard. And the girl's name is Bobby Stricker. And I do a little research, and this is Steve Stricker's daughter. And kind of a cool story. So Steve Stricker married Nikki Tiziani. Nikki's dad was the legendary coach at University of Wisconsin. Yep. And Nikki was a great player, I believe All-American when she was at Wisconsin. Steve was obviously a great player at Illinois and one of the best tour players that we've seen in our lifetime. I mean, Steve's had an incredible career.
Oh, absolutely.
And his daughter didn't really get into golf until her junior year of high school. And she ended up being a walk-on at her first year at Wisconsin.
Junior year of high school?
Like, she played a little bit here and there, but wasn't taking it serious, wasn't playing events. You know, a lot of kids are playing events from age, you know, fifth grade, sixth grade on, and she wasn't doing that. And all of a sudden, she got into it, and she's taking it serious. And I looked at this event, which had a great field at UC Davis. She shot 76, 73, 73, and took fifth place. So it'll be interesting to see where she goes, you know, with her family background. She has access to great players, great instructors, all of that stuff, to see where she goes with this. And I can't imagine what it's like growing up as a tour stars kid. We talked about Charlie Woods before. You know, what does that look like for her? She was always kind of, hey, we want to talk about your dad. We want to talk about your mom. Talk about your grandpa. And now a little bit of spotlight, hopefully moving on to her, and we'll see where she goes with it. But
I think Stricker Woods is a little separated, a little stretch for each other. But same, yeah, I get it. Same thing.
Yeah, no, it's you're right. It definitely is a bit of a stretch. But so speaking,
you're talking
of
like the most well-known athlete on the planet.
Fair. Versus a guy that enjoys most of his time in Madison, Wisconsin.
Right.
Yeah. So speaking of stretches, we have access to some really great information. Golf Digest actually did a behind-the-scenes, if you will, poll of all the tour pros, or a decent amount of tour pros, asking what they really think. All anonymous, and they asked a lot of questions. There's a ton of questions. If you want to go check out golfdigest.com for the whole thing, it's "What Do PGA Tour Pros Really Think?" is the name of the article. But
you guys have to go check this out. We are not even going to be able to sniff all the questions that were asked. A lot of it's Rory, Tiger related, but this is pretty darn good. And PGA Tours actually know they do a lot of surveys. After every event, there's a survey. There's players responsible for each event to report on how conditions were, how the field were, everything. But this is probably the best survey of the year.
I think so. It's the best one I've seen. And there's one question and one question alone that I wanted to hit on. I know we've got to go through more of these, but the first question, this is just rocking my world right now.
This is the first question on the entire article too, right?
First one. Who do you want on your side in a bar fight? So those of you listening at home, think about this. You're in a bar fight, you're on tour, you're traveling, and things get dicey.
We've already talked about on the show tour players fighting each other and who's going to win. This person was even on our radar of people.
Yeah, so the only thing I can think of is that this is a very, very small sample set, and that the majority of the players that were interviewed on this question were trying to get on the International President's Cup team. Because the answer, the number one player on tour that you want on your side in a bar fight is
Ernie Els.
Are you kidding me?
It's not even on my radar of people I want in a bar fight.
27.5% of the players polled said they want
Big
Ernie
Els.
Only 5% said Brooks. Is there something we're missing?
Do they just not like Brooks?
I don't know what it is. More people wanted Scott Stallings and Jason Kokrak on their side than Brooks Koepka. What is there? There has to be something we're missing.
This is of all the questions on this too. Ernie Els was a landslide percentage wise on this one.
It's incredible.
Ernie Els on a bar. I can't even picture him in a fight.
I just feel like
his goofy tailor-made hat from 20 years ago.
I feel like Ernie would see you, he'd give you knuckles, and he'd have a swig of his beer and move on from there.
How cool is this one, though? Who is the funniest guy on tour? Your opinion.
No clue. I in my personal opinion, I'm going to go with probably Tiger because it's a different type of humor, right?
Completely different type of humor. But
and that's in practice rounds, not in tournaments, but it's a different type of humor.
17% of all interviewed. Said Tim Herron.
Yes.
Lumpy.
That's the best thing to come out of Minnesota. It's on tour. That's the best thing we've done. We have the funniest guy on tour right here in Minneapolis. You got to love it. So, I mean, I don't know if you saw the photos. Did you see those photos a year or so ago where he had his staff bag?
Yeah.
And on the staff bag, one of the zippers for the side compartment was labeled deli meats.
It's so good.
It's Lumpy. You have to love Lumpy, and I love that his humor is being that well received by the rest of the tour.
He brings his own beer to tour events for the players just to have. I mean, if you're not going to win a guy's heart by that,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know what it's going to take. A couple of the other things we talked about, or we saw this: how many golf balls are in your bag to start a round? We talked last week. You had 30 in your bag.
Well, for the Honda.
For the Honda. Yeah. 60% said 6 to 9 golf balls. I'm fearful at 6 to 9 golf balls for a round of golf.
Yeah, I'm going at least 18.
At least, right?
I'm not carrying that thing, right?
Here's one that actually surprised me a lot. Have you witnessed someone break a rule and try to get away with it? 52% said yes.
Wow.
That's on the PGA Tour. We're talking the highest level of golf, and there's that many people. Yeah, technically, it is cheating. It's cheating. Now, a lot of them also said it was wrong drops, a little closer to the hole than what. So it's not like big-time things, but still.
Right, and a lot of it's always going to be my opinion versus your opinion.
Correct.
And that's the beauty of the game. It's a game of integrity, and you just got to trust the process. So one of my favorite questions on this was, who has the best-looking wife or girlfriend on tour?
No comment.
And the number one was Aaron Baddeley's wife, Rochelle.
Wasn't even close.
Not even close.
And some of the others I would have thought would have been on that list didn't even make the list.
So I was shocked that Brooks Koepka's girlfriend, Jenna Sims, or DJ's Paulina, like those two to me,
Paulina didn't make that list is pretty incredible.
So it's interesting. I would love to know more about the sample set that was pulled.
Yeah, I
want to
know who was actually pulled for this event.
And I would love to know if some guys just said, not going there.
Not going there.
You know, because it just seems like, you know, even though it was supposed to be anonymous, they didn't want it to maybe bite them later on. Some other questions that were pretty fun. Do you miss Johnny Miller?
67% said no. I like this one even better, though. Would you miss Brandel Chambly if he were off TV tomorrow? 61% no. I didn't know these guys even cared about that kind of stuff.
You didn't think so, but favorite hole at the Players, 30% of them said 16.
How about least favorite hole, though? 17.
Was the number one answer. So, yeah, a lot of good stuff in here. The final one that we want to talk about, though, is you have to choose where to play your last round and which do you pick. So this is similar to our dream foursome. But Augusta National, 62% of the players said Augusta. Old Course at St. Andrews was 14%. So that was, I mean, that's how much these guys think about Augusta, which is pretty cool.
And if you look at the entire article on this, Augusta's brought up a lot, and the Masters brought up a lot, as this is our goal. This is what we want to win. Now, if you can win that or win nothing else for the rest of your career, I want to win the Masters.
Right. Cypress Point, 10%. Pebble, 10%. You know, some interesting different ones in there, but Augusta's hands down. So I'd love to know when guys could pick their dream foursome, who their other three would be.
Right.
just like the majority of the people that we've had on this show, everyone's saying they want to play at Augusta. So I guess Augusta, keep doing what you're doing. It's pretty awesome. So we want to thank everyone so much for tuning in to 10,000 Swings. As a reminder, we air at 7 p.m. on Monday nights on Score North, 1500 a.m., and then are available anywhere you listen to your podcasts. Please connect with us as well at 10kswings@scorenorth.com if you have any ideas, comments, etc. Have a great week, everyone.